Song says, make sure you're following Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
All right. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Welcome, Amazing Grace, and welcome to my family from California and all my visiting family today, taking up three rows over here. Amen? Praise God. All right. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for every message, Father, but we praise you for today's message, Lord, that speaks to us and it reminds us, Father God, that we're all going to have some rough patches in our lives. A lot of us have some rough starts in our lives, Father God, but it's not how we start, but how we finish that matters to you, Father. And may we learn that through this message today, Father God, that we are all to be good stewards of your church, Lord. And we are all to support your church and to be a part of this family of God and to be a witness for what you've done in our lives. Because being a witness and telling others what you've delivered us from is a powerful, powerful tool, Lord, in the Great Commission. So we thank you, Lord, for every opportunity you give us to spread that gospel, to give that message. And we thank you for the peace and the love and the strength that you give us through your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so my sermon title today is My Battery's Running Low. No, that's next week. That's next week. It's not how you start, but how you finish. Amen?
Amen.
And I knew that would speak to all of us here, right? Because it's not how you start in your life, it's how you finish in your life, and it's how you finish in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
In Christ. So last week we finished our message with a message from the great Apostle Paul. Amen? And he had started this message that he was given, and part of that message, Paul reminds the church elders that when he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ and God's word, he did not hesitate, amen, to preach anything that would be helpful to them, right? So no fluff, amen? He was going to give them the whole counsel of God. And Paul didn't just preach to the Christians either. He preached to the Gentiles as well, amen? He was preaching to everybody, right? When preachers are preaching, we should be preaching to everyone, not a select few, not certain people. No, to everyone. This message is for everyone. Amen? But now Paul was ready to finish the race, okay? Paul was ready to go and finish the race that the Lord had set before him. And so I got this story for you guys, and it's a true story. Amen? There was a runner in the Olympics. He was hours behind the runner in front of him. The last marathoner finally entered the Olympic Stadium, okay? That was him. By that time, the drama of the whole Olympics had already, was almost over. A lot of the spectators had left. You know, all the racers but him, he came in like an hour after everybody. So there was a few people still there, and he was coming into the stadium to finish the race. The athlete's story, even though everyone had already gone home, was still playing out. Amen? He still had a race to finish. So limping into the arena, this Tanzanian runner, he was from Tanzania, right? He grimaced with every step as he entered the stadium. His knee was bleeding and bandaged from a fall that he had suffered earlier, which is why he was at the back of the pack. Amen? He had this ragged appearance, and that ragged appearance immediately caught the attention of everyone that was remaining in the crowd. So they all cheered him on to the finish line. But the question is, why did he stay in the race? Amen? Why did he stay in the race even though he was injured, he was in last place by a long shot? Why did he stay in the race? What made him endure his injuries to the end? When asked these questions later, he replied, he said, my country didn't send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish the race. Amen? To finish the race. when I was young, which was a long time ago, okay, I used to run long-distance races myself. If you heard my testimony, you know that, but that is until I decided to waste that part of my life away on smoking and drugs and alcohol. But it all started with smoking cigarettes, amen? And my life of running as I started smoking was over, amen? You don't run when you're a smoker, amen? Well, most people don't. You shouldn't. Throughout all the years of my running, though, which was about 4 years, I believe, in my adolescence there, I never gave up on a race as I was racing, amen? I never gave up. I always finished the races, and I was pretty good, too. I was actually fifth in the state at one point, amen? So I was pretty good at these long-distance, you know, 6 mile, 10 mile, 20 mile races. But my sins and my bad habits would take over my life. And I would, in a sense, fail to finish the race of being this long distance runner. Amen. And also I would fail the dream that me and my dad had of me going to the Olympics. Right. So that was all out the window, but it was still God's path for my life. Even though I wasn't going to be in the Olympics, God still had a path for my life. Amen? It was just going to be a while before my Damascus Road experience came. Amen? It was going to be a little while, about 20 years or so. But it's not how you start the race. Amen? It's how you finish it. The Lord is interested in how we finish it. That's what truly matters to the kingdom of God. Right? How we finish our race of faith. Amen? So our first verse says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit," Paul said, "I am going to go to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me there." Paul's telling him that the reason he's going to Jerusalem right now is because the Spirit of God told him to go. Amen? The Spirit of God had compelled him to go, but he also says he doesn't know what's going to happen. He has no idea, but he's trusting that God has a plan. Right? He's trusting God has a plan for his life. And then he tells him what he does know in verse 23. He says, "I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are going to face me." And yet he still goes. Amen. Amen? He still serves. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if the Spirit told me that I had to go to prison and go through all these hardships in order to serve God, at one point I probably would have said, "No, thank you." Amen? I'm good. No, thank you. But today, I would go anywhere the Lord leads me. Amen? Even into the jails as a visitor, of course. Amen? And just like my Thea Norma, who's here today, she's preaching in the prisons over in California. Amen? So we go where the Lord leads us, unashamed and unafraid. Amen? And Thea Norma, God bless you, Thea. That's amazing. I'm so happy for you. But we're called to go unashamed and unafraid, all of us, amen, wherever God calls us to go for his kingdom. And so Paul's trying to explain to them that he was willing to go, okay? Even though he knew suffering was going to await him, he was willing and ready to go. And the next verse is a very rich and powerful verse made by Paul, amen? And he says, "However," he tells them, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." And that's a task for all of us. Amen? Don't overlook that verse. This is one of those verses that we should memorize and study. This is one of them verses they say you can preach a whole sermon on one verse. That's one of them right there. I'm not going to do it today, amen? But this is one of them, and I'll try to keep it short. But Paul's saying that he knows there's suffering awaiting him because the Spirit of God told him, amen? The Spirit told him where to go, and the Spirit told him what to expect. He says there's no sacrifice too great that he can give for the Lord because the Lord has given him everything, right? There's nothing too great that he can't give to God because the Lord has given him everything. He says, "What can I do but give him everything as well?" Right? 100%. Even if he has to give his life, amen, the Lord gave him that too, right? The Lord has given him even eternal life. So even if he has to give his life, he says, this life is nothing to me compared to completing my task for God. This life is nothing. He says the number one goal of his life is to finish the course God set him on. And it should be the same thing for all of us, right? That's an eternal goal. Amen? Eternity means a lot more than the little bit of time we got to spend right here. Sharing the gospel and seeing others come to faith should be our number one goal, no matter what age we are or how long we've been in the church. Amen? Because that's what's eternal. And that's what pleases God. What's eternal pleases God. And that's why we got this Christian Life and Witness course that we're doing through the Billy Graham. Well, actually, the Billy Graham Association is doing it. We're just hosting it here in the church. Amen? And I got some handouts on the back. And there's a QR code here, too. But if you guys want to join us, it's coming to our church in a couple of weeks. So, and it's very important. Amen? Whether we've been in the church for 30 years or 30 days, amen, it's important for us to be a witness for Christ, okay? It's important and that we learn to be a witness for Christ, and that's what this course is all about, okay? Even for pastors, right? Learning to be a better witness for Christ because the Lord's coming soon, amen? And Maranatha, it could be today. It could be today. So we need to continue to support the Great Commission as much as we can. And that's what this course is all about. Amen? It's a free course. It's 3 days. It's 2 hours a day on Thursday for 3 weeks. Okay? Starting on the 23rd. Amen? You don't even have to sign up. Just show up at 6:30 p.m. on January 23rd. And then you'll go... 3 Thursdays in a row, 2 hours an evening, okay? And all you got to do is show up. They'll give you notebook, paper, they'll give you everything, okay? So the point is, Paul wasn't focused on how he started the race, okay? Most of us have had a rough start, right? If not all of us, right? I know most of us have had a rough start. I know I have, amen? But, you know, Paul was focused on how he was going to finish the race. And that should be our focus too, right? Thanking God for delivering us from what we've been through, but focusing on how we finish the race. We all have a testimony, okay, of how we came to Christ, of how we ended up in this house of God today. We all have a testimony. And those testimonies need to be heard. Amen? They need to be heard because they're a powerful tool in witnessing for our Savior, right? Showing people what God has done to deliver us. Amen? It's not only good for them and help powerful for them, it's powerful for us too because it reminds us of where we've been delivered from. Amen? So it's not how you start, but how you finish that matters to God, and that speaks volumes to your witness for Christ. And verse 25 says, "Now I know," he says, "that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." That hit him hard right there. He said, "Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." Right? The whole truth and nothing but the truth, right? For these men to hear Paul, their spiritual leader and great teacher, say that they're never going to see him again, it was a shock. It was a shock to them, amen? But notice he also says that he's innocent of their blood. He's innocent of the blood of any of them because he spoke the whole truth to them, right? My job is to speak the truth to you guys, amen? But it's your job, it's your free will decision to make to follow Christ, amen? And that's what he's telling them. He says, they heard firsthand from Paul the Apostle the whole counsel of God, right? He told them the whole counsel. And for us today, how do we receive the whole counsel of God? We don't need Paul, amen? We got the whole counsel of God right here, right? And every word Paul recorded right here, amen? 66 books in the Bible. That's the whole counsel of God. That's all we need. We don't need to add anything to it, and we definitely don't need to take anything out of it. Amen? That is the whole counsel of God, with nothing left out and nothing else needed. And that's why we teach here expository straight through the books of the Bible. Amen? Right, Pastor Perry? Because we don't want to skip anything. Amen? Every word in this Bible is exactly what we need. Every word. There's no wasted words in here. Amen? Every word from Genesis to Revelation. To attain that relationship with God, we must read all the words, not just pick and choose. Amen? And some of these books can take up to 2 years to preach through. Amen? We've been in the book of Acts, believe it or not, I know a lot of you haven't even been here that long, since November of 2023. So it's going to be close to 2 years by the time we're done. But what an amazing journey it's been. Amen? You know, every time I start a new book, I say, oh, this is going to be a great one for the church. They're all great for the church. Amen? And so more pastors today should seriously consider preaching the whole counsel of God straight through the books. Amen? No more health and wealth, prosperity, gospels. Less of us and more of Him. Right? You guys don't need to hear 20 minutes about my vacation. All right? I'll give you 20 seconds, and then I'll give you 20 minutes to explain the Scripture. Amen? That's what I'm going to give you. More of Him and less of us. Right? More pastors today will reference a few verses and then start talking about the hot topic of the week. Right? A lot of time without even explaining the context of the Scripture. They'll just read it and move on, right? Our experiences should be complementing the text of God's Word, not God's Word complementing our experiences. Amen? God's Word should be first and foremost in our preaching. When Jesus preached, it was all about the gospel. When Paul preached, it was all about the gospel. When I preach, it should be all about the gospel. Amen? There's 66 books in the Bible for a reason. And in order to learn that reason, we have to study through them from the beginning to the end. Not pick and choose what suits our culture or what suits our community or what even suits our congregation. Amen? God's Word speaks to all of us. And I get confirmation of that all the time when people are leaving the church and they say, that sermon was great, Pastor. It spoke to me today. Amen? And thank you guys for letting me know that. I love it when you guys tell me that. Amen? We must receive God's Word in its entirety in order to receive salvation to its fullest. Amen? God's Word in its entirety in order to receive salvation to its fullest. And that salvation to its fullest means experiencing the complete benefits of salvation, which typically includes not only forgiveness of sins, okay, but a deep, ongoing relationship with God, right? It's not about religion, it's about a relationship, right? A transformation of our character, right? From the inside, amen? And living a life, dedicated to serving others. That should be our focus, right? And that's what keeps me in line, amen? Being focused on serving others, right? That's what keeps me strong in my faith. According to most Christian interpretations, you know, that's what strengthens us. It implies actively engaging with faith and allowing it to influence every aspect of our lives, right? When we're actively engaged in our faith and witnessing, it affects everything we do, right? Everywhere we go, God should always be at the top of our list, amen? So I thank God that preaching in this manner is the way I was taught, and that's the way we'll continue to preach until my day to go to heaven, amen? Or until the Lord comes back. This is how I'm going to preach, amen? So Paul's still talking. And it's enough about Paul now. He's been speaking about what he has done and what he's doing. But now he's going to speak to them directly. And he's going to tell them what they need to do as leaders in the church. Okay? What they need to do as leaders in the church. He says in verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. He's telling them, pay close attention not only to your flock, but to yourselves and how you live your life. Amen? He's talking to the pastors, right? Watch how you live your life, because every leader in the church needs to understand that in order to be an effective leader, we have to be aware of our own weaknesses as well, right? We have to be alone of our own weaknesses and be good with our soul, right? Amen? Because every pastor has weaknesses, just like everybody has weaknesses, okay? We all fall short. It's the flesh, amen? It's the flesh. As long as we're living in the flesh, we have to pay close attention to our weaknesses and our shortcomings, amen? We have to take steps to ensure our personal safety if we want to safely lead others to Christ. We have to be safe people, amen? It's a spiritual battle, and it can be very dangerous if we're not led in the right direction. And as part of my promise to be a pastor, I have to be careful that I'm leading you on the right path as well, right? So that means I got to do the same, amen? 2 Timothy 2:15, warning of false teachers in the church. In this last letter of Paul's life, he writes, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. You know, he's speaking to the leaders, but he's speaking to all of us. Amen? We have to be careful that we correctly handle the word of God. Paul was saying, I got to be approved before God if I'm going to deliver the message to the body of Christ. Right? He's saying that's his goal. He says if we let our flesh govern us and take over, then we're no longer in the spirit, we're in the flesh. Right? It's a daily battle. Amen? A daily battle of repentance and giving it to God and doing it in his strength. If we let our flesh govern us and take over, then we're in trouble. We're in the flesh. Paul was saying, if I'm going to deliver the Lord's message, I can't be found in violation of my own message, right? I got to be walking the walk, amen? He says, if I'm going to talk the talk, I got to walk the walk. Paul would say that ignoring one's own counsel is to be disqualified to be a leader in the church, right? If a pastor doesn't walk the walk, then he's disqualified, amen? If you're to try and be a hypocritical preacher, eventually you'll be exposed. The darkness does come into the light at some point. Amen? We've seen many examples of famous preachers who've been exposed after leading millions and millions of people in the church. Right? We find things out about them. We're like, you know, it's a sad, painful, and dangerous thing to try to be a spiritual leader while living a lie. Right? It's dangerous to your soul is what it is, right? Dangerous to their soul, and it's not helping the congregation, amen? James 3:1, which is the scariest verse in the Bible for pastors, says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Amen? If a preacher's living a lie, he's going to be judged more strictly. Paul was well aware of his own weaknesses, and he wanted to let the elders know that they too need to be on guard. Amen? And draw on the Lord's strength to live as righteously as possible while leading others to Christ. He said, lead by example, okay? We have to lead by example, or we're going to get judged by example. I don't want that. I don't want that for any pastor. Amen? He also says in that verse to watch over the flock. After an elder checks himself, then he needs to attend to his flock, right? Once we're good, we need to attend to the flock. He says, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit has made us overseers of a church. He's reminding them that the one who calls us to be teachers also calls us to be leaders over the flock. But what exactly does that entail? Well, first of all, the first thing, like we've been talking about the last couple weeks, the first thing a pastor does is he teaches the Word of God. Number one, right? Teach the Word of God. Second, encourage your congregation to trust in the Lord in everything they do. Right? Teach them the Word. Encourage them to trust in the Lord. Pray for everybody. Pray for them. Be an example of a prayer life, of leading a prayerful life. Amen? And lastly, not lastly, but another thing that's very important is warning them when they're going in the wrong direction. That can be a difficult task for a pastor. Amen? Warning your people you love in your congregation that they're going in the wrong direction. That can be a difficult task. Not everybody wants to hear that. Amen? To warn those you love that they're on a dangerous path can lead to an eternal consequence. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to tell somebody, hey, you know, you got to stop doing that, man. You're going the wrong way, right? And that's why we have to gain your trust and respect, right? So that we can speak to you in that manner, and you can take that as a constructive criticism in faith. Amen. So when we're being the voice of truth in people's lives, they will listen because we have that relationship. And of course, always backing whatever we say with Scripture, right? Backing it with Scripture. And then at the end of the verse, it says that the church belongs to the Lord because the Lord purchased it in His blood. Right? This is God's church. Amen? And He's the one that's ultimately responsible for His church. Amen? We're all just stewards and leaders and servants. We're just called to be good leaders. God is the head and we are the body. Amen? Let God lead us in His strength. He's saying lead by example and don't stress because it's the Lord's church and He has covered the church in His blood. Amen? Then he warns them in verse 29. He says, I know that after I leave here, savage wolves are going to come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men are going to arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. In other words, he's saying threats are not only going to come from outside of the church, amen, but they're going to come from inside the church as well. Sad thing to say, right? He was telling these elders, yes, wolves are going to come and they're going to try to attack your sheep. They're going to come. But you are the shepherds and you must protect your flock. A pastor has to be ready to swing his staff, amen, to protect the flock. And that's exactly what I have done here, amen, and will continue to do. And, you know, in this church, God has given me the discernment at times to stand up against people who at times are only here to hurt the church. Amen? Every church has these problems from inside the church. Right? And my goal is to protect you from these people. When God gives me that discernment, no matter who it is, I'm going to do my best to protect my flock. That's each of you. Amen? Because I love you guys. And we need to do this as a team. It's a spiritual battle, and it takes all of us. Amen? So remember, the Lord bought this church with His blood, and He's going to continue to, and He will continue to support, honor, and protect all those who lead it, right? Lovingly and righteously. Not just the pastors, but every leader. Every witness and every disciple. You guys are all the disciples. Amen? He's going to protect you as well. It's all of our responsibilities to protect our church. Paul was saying wolves are going to attack the church from the outside, but there's also going to be wolves in sheep's clothing from the inside. Amen? He says, so beware, be strong, and be faithful. He says, be on guard in verse 31. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, he said, night and day with tears. He said, beware. Beware. I got to go, but you guys beware and be strong in the faith. Verse 32, he says, now I commit you to God and to the world of his, and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He's saying, now I commit you to God, because he's leaving. Amen? He's leaving, and the Spirit had told him he's not coming back. He's committing them to God. This meant that he was going to leave them in the hands of God, right? That the Lord may keep them in his will. And that's an important thing for us pastors to remember as well. Okay? We must commit our congregation to the Lord rather than trying to carry them on our backs. Right? We preach the truth to you, but it's your job to take that truth and act on it. Right? Free will. Right? You got to make that decision to follow Christ. Amen? We can guide you guys, but we don't have to carry you. That's the Lord's load to bear. The Lord will carry you through it. Amen? We must trust that as we give a message or teach a Bible study, that the Lord's going to speak to you personally. Right? The Lord will speak to you personally. And you guys, like I said, give me confirmation of that all the time. So praise God. And then verse 33, he says, and I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. That just means that he was never in it for the money. Paul was never in it for the money. Getting into the ministry for the money is never a good idea, and it's kind of dumb too. Right, Pastor? We're not here for the money. Amen? And, you know, making a living in the ministry is trusting that God's going to provide. When I retired from my secular company to come work for the church, I trusted that God was going to provide. Amen? I'd been 17 years at that job. I left all that seniority and whatever I was getting paid over there because I wanted to serve Christ. Amen? And that's what all of us should be doing, trusting that God is going to provide. Right? Doing the right thing and trusting God will provide. And it'll always be wrong for church leaders to be concerned with the money and just get into ministry to get rich. All right? And kind of dumb, too. But there we go. I don't say names anymore. I just show pictures, okay? So obviously, money can be a stumbling block when it comes to leading a church. Right? It can be a stumbling block. But fortunately, most inner-city pastors don't have to worry about having too much money. Amen? Because we don't make too much money. But the church does need money to pay the bills. Amen? That's for sure. But none of us leaders in the church should be here to try and get rich. We're not here to try and get rich. Because our riches are being stored up in heaven. Amen? And that's how everybody should look at it, right? Our riches, our eternal riches are being stored up in heaven. And the retirement plan is out of this world. Amen? So, you can laugh at that one. My retirement plan is out of this world, okay? But and yours can be too. Amen? Paul was reminding them he was not focused on making money and that they shouldn't be focused on it either. Right? It wasn't about making money as a leader in the church. In fact, Paul never got paid. Went off? Yeah. Well, that's a brand new battery. See, and that's confirmation that it's a good message because the devil's messing with you right now. Take that, Satan. I got some battery right here. Oh. Can you hear me now? Yeah. All right. Lord, I pray these batteries last me through the rest of the sermon. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here we go. He's got me? All right. So he goes on to say in verse 34, he says, you yourselves know that these hands of mine supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. Remember, Paul was a tent maker, amen? He had a job to support himself. He said, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? That is an important and powerful statement that's quoted by many churches, many outreaches, and many ministries. And can anybody tell me where that's at in the Bible? No? Where Jesus spoke that in the Bible? Or in the Gospels, I should say? You can't, because it's not there. Amen? It's not there. Sorry, trick question. But if you look for these words in the Bible, they're not there. But Paul did say that Jesus said these words. Amen? And that's because he probably heard it from somebody else. Because Paul never met Jesus. He met him on the road to Damascus, but he never met the incarnate Jesus. Amen? And so he probably heard this secondhand. And he was saying, those are the words of the Lord, though. Amen? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And that's a statement that all Christians should have in their mind. Amen? It's better to give than to receive, because it is. When we have the heart of Jesus in us, giving just comes automatic. Amen? It makes us feel good to give and help others. Amen? So that was something that Jesus had said that didn't really get recorded, but somehow Paul had heard it. But the point is that he was reminding the elders that his hard work, amen, that he did for the kingdom was an example for them to follow. His hard work was an example, okay? And then in our last verses, verse 36, it says, when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and he prayed with them. And they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. And what grieved them the most was his statement that he had made that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. This was all about Paul's love for the church. Amen? All about his love for the church and all the leaders that he had taught and prayed for and built these relationships with. He had poured his life out to these people, and he would later write to them before his own life would be taken to reassure them and remind them of what was to come. It was a hard thing for new leaders to be left to shepherd once their elders and their leaders had gone. Amen? But that's how we grow. Amen? It's not easy. I used an example in the first service. You know, sort of like back in the day how we used to learn how to swim, right? He used to throw us in the deep end, right? To see if, and that's how we started swimming. Amen. Today you get a lawsuit if you do it, but that's how we learn, right? To be left alone to lead the church. But they were ready. Paul had taught them the word. Paul had given enough instruction. They were ready to lead the church. Amen. And this was going to prove that Paul had done his job. Paul had done his job, and the elders were ready to lead and to defend and to build God's church. And, you know, God's church would continue to spread throughout the Roman Empire, right? Continue to grow. But they would face internal challenges like the rise of false teachers, like he warned them, amen? And divisions within the congregations, just like Paul had told them. But overall, the church would continue to expand, okay? And it would develop a structure that would be instrumental in delivering the great commission of Jesus Christ. The church was strong. So we're going to close with Paul's prayer to the Ephesians that he wrote some 5 years later, amen, in his book to the Ephesians. Just before his death, he wrote this, okay? I'm going to read it out of the Bible. It's Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, if you guys want to follow along. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. It says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What a reminder from Paul. Amen. And like I said, that would be one of his last letters that he wrote to the church. And so that letter is not only for the church back then, it's for us today. Amen. It's a reminder that it's a spiritual battle, but it's God's battle to win for us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you for the reminder, Lord, of the strength of your word and how we must follow it and live in the truth, walk in the walk, Lord, so that we may spread that message unashamed and unafraid, leading others to you, Lord, for we know that the time is short. And we've seen so many warning signs, Lord, that the time is short. May we all grow strong in our faith. May we all put you first. May we all continue to grow in our relationship with you, Lord. And may we all enjoy an eternal peace with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.